I wonder, Henry, could you get Romans chapter 5 back on the screen, and that would keep us in a good way for the sermon. So please make sure that you have your Bibles open, or if you can see the screen, I think most of the verses will be up there. We're just going to go through this passage and treat it maybe with in mind the context of what's been happening in the last few days, and with the intention, as always, to encourage God's people. And God's people are those who are trusting in Jesus, and they have reason to have hope. And that's not the only audience to hear this message. The message is also to encourage those who feel they have no hope to look to see what they could have in Jesus, and by God's grace, to come in faith to him even today. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5 and read verse 1 at the moment as a reminder of the passage that we read. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads and ask God's blessing. Lord, we pray that you will help us to approach your word and give you thanks for it in our hearts, for it is the word of hope for us today. Thank you for the blessing that we can have as we gather around your word, the privileges that we have with it being in the English language and the location that we share today. We pray, O Lord God, that you will bless our time as we worship you and as we consider the Bible passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, isn't it the case that many people are living these times without peace? Now, we don't need to look to times of war for an absence of peace. We can look at individuals walking around the streets. We can look at people even today, maybe even you, are sensing a lack of peace in your life, and it troubles you. And Jesus had words for the disciples who were troubled in their hearts, and he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he would go on and say, the world isn't going to give you the peace that you're looking for, but I give you a peace that is God's shalom, God's peace. And that's what we're looking for in our hearts individually today, and that we can recommend to our community. And sometimes it's at times of a great national crisis, or even in this case, worldwide health crisis, that we haven't really seen. I don't know about you, but I'm listening to radio and people saying, never in my lifetime have we encountered something like this. And scientists suggesting that not since 1918 in the Spanish flu epidemic has there been anything so drastic across the world. And so maybe this is a new experience for us that gives us a sense of being unsettled, a lack of peace. We're not quite sure how it's going to work out, what's going to happen in the next few days, in the next few weeks. We have no idea. But one of the things we can know is that God is the God of peace. And the peace that we're needing is just to look to him and be reminded of how we get that peace and be reminded of what that peace is. And so Romans chapter 5 is actually the suggested reading for today. So across the globe, many churches use the suggested readings, and we have today. And this is the passage that has been used as a reading in many churches all over the world. And what a beautiful message it is to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So we pray for peace. We're not forgetting the trouble-torn areas of the world. We're not even forgetting the famous words in the beauty pageants of the people that are trying to win the competition. I want world peace for everything. And we see these different things. Maybe some of you are from the 60s or remember the time of the 60s, the peace movement. And we see history teaching us that, sadly, much as we might beg to differ, history does teach us that we don't have a lot of times of peace in the world history. Students of history tell us that basically in 4,000 years of what we can account for, approximately 268 years of peace have been counted. Wait a second. 4,000 years and only 268 years were without warfare and conflicts that are recorded. And in the last three centuries or so, historians in Europe say that that continent has only suffered 286 wars. 286 wars in three centuries. That's incredible, isn't it? But peace is hard to come by in the world in which we live. Peace is hard to come by today. And we try to grab a moment of peace when we're very busy and we enjoy it and we realize how beautiful it is just to relax at the end of a busy day and say, well, a moment of peace at last, a moment of peace. But Paul is talking about a peace that is at a much higher level, a different plane altogether. He's talking about a peace that is not just a circumstance. It's a peace that dwells within you. It's a peace that is echoing an eternal truth. So it's not just, oh, I've had a busy day. I've been really troubled during today. I'm going to have a moment of peace. I'm going to put my feet up and relax. I'm going to watch my favorite TV show. I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Whatever your solution might be, that is not the peace that we need. The peace that we need is what Paul is talking about. We're going to look at it and find that there are three things we can learn from this provision of being justified through faith in Jesus. This is what Paul is speaking of on all the build-up to Romans chapter 5 so far. I suppose that word therefore links it back to what has gone on before. So at the end of chapter 4, he says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. So today, we're going to look at what that great justification by faith might mean for us. Well, let's set the record straight. Justification, it's a big word, isn't it? A Latinized word, I suppose. We get it maybe in legal terms from the Latin language. But one of the things that Paul is using here is a great sense that it has been made right in God's sight. Justification has been made right in God's eyes. In other words, the highest judge, the only one that really matters, looks on the child, the person trusting in Jesus, and sees them right with him. Now, Bruce Milne says to be justified means to be discharged at God's judgment seat. Christ's good works are made over to our account. In other words, discharged at God's judgment. He looks on us, and for all our faults and failings, he sees that they've been answered by Christ's good works, Jesus, and his death on the cross. Chapter 3, verse 30, Paul says there is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith. And so this is consistent with what Paul has been teaching. Being right with God, this peace that we have with God, this shalom with God, comes through this justification by faith that is God's doing. It's graciously done by God. Now, Jesus is described as one who, after the suffering of his soul, will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. That was a messianic prophecy relating to Jesus dying on the cross for us, that he would justify many. So immediately we're seeing that there's a gracious element to this, but it's a gracious element because it's an essential action. Only God can do this. And so we have peace with God because We see that he has done something that only he can do on our behalf. Verses 1 to 2 tell us a little bit more, don't they? They instruct us about how this beautiful condition takes away condemnation. So, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It tells us that we're no longer condemned because of our sins. We have been freed. The reversal has happened. Instead of being condemned, we're welcomed into his family. We have acceptance with God. The hymn puts it, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." This talk of peace is now really showing us that God has done something beautiful and necessary for us. Not only that, this being made right in God's sight, this justified by faith, as it were, is instant, it's perfect, it is irreversible. So there are a lot of things that we try to fix, but they start to go bad again. But this setting or this standing can be translated as that this once for all justification by faith has happened. It doesn't have to be done again. It is a standing that you have with God. You stand with God, justified by faith, made right with him. That is your condition. But you might say, "But Pastor, what about all the times I'm failing, I'm sinning in life, I keep on doing these things that I don't want to do, I despise my bad behavior, my thoughts and my actions and sometimes my words. What does that mean? I'm losing my justification? Am I losing my standing with God because of my actions?" Well, no. Your standing with God is sealed, is secure through the work of Jesus Christ. But there is a process in life that we fight against sin. We battle against it. And I suppose it's a work of what's called being sanctified, that we work out our faith through the struggles, through the victories and the failures, but we're working out our faith in life. But our standing with God is secure by Christ's work. And if you are searching for a peace about life and death and eternity, that is the only peace that you can have if your standing with God through faith in Christ is sure and certain. And if this is going to be cemented as a point that we'll take away with us today, remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." So here we have it. The work of Jesus Christ is the answer, always the answer. My peace with God is in what Jesus has done, is found in him. And Paul says this in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, what is there as a provision. And secondly, we see a promise. Well, you might be saying, "Well, what's the promise of this passage? What's the promise of justification? What's the promise that's attached with being made right with God?" Well, we can say for certain that there is more to come. There is more to come. We see that God does not say, "Well, that's the peace, my peace, and that's the acceptance, my acceptance that I've granted to them. Let them be. They can get on with it now. Life is up to them, and they can do whatever they want. They've been justified by faith. They're free to do whatever they choose." Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, clearly it's not. The Bible teaches that there is more to come after being justified by faith. There is a gracious work of God that keeps on working in us. Once he started that good work, he will bring it to fruition. He will bring it to completion. He will do that. He will work sanctification in us. He will work to sanctify us and make us holy. Now, God wants us to know that this is certainly what he's going to be doing. So in verse 9, we see in this chapter, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So we're going to be worked on as a project of God, as it were. Christ, the life of Christ, the wonder of his work, not just to justify us, but to ensure our progress. And what does Jesus do in this time? He is interceding for his people. He is praying for his people. He is presenting their case, as we saw a few weeks ago. But not only that, further to this, there's the promise of rejoicing in God. Because what does verse 11 say? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. So it's not just that God is going to be working in us, that he's going to be blessing us, he's going to be fulfilling his promise to us. We see here that we will be rejoicing in this. We can rejoice that we have a relationship made right with God. We can rejoice every day, no matter what the circumstances of our community is, of our world, that our relationship with God is vibrant, is real, is alive. And the reason is simple. We have been reconciled. Peace has been made for us. We have peace with God. And so we must ensure that we have a type of peace that's not just circumstantial, but is a genuine indwelling peace that gives us a rejoicing, a joy that is deep down. And yes, there is a difference. We've looked at it before. Don't expect to be happy all the time. You have emotions. We all have emotions. And some days we'll feel quite happy. And we might feel like smiling. And we might feel like telling people funny stories. But there'll be other days when we just don't feel like that, because our emotions are like that. We are emotional beings. So happiness isn't the measurement, because it's by nature, it's fluctuating. It's up and down. That's our cycle of emotions. But here we see rejoicing in what God has done, and that is deep. And that is so deep that the circumstances don't trouble it. That is so foundational that nothing can rob you of that joy, because it's so deeply held within you. And you just need to remind yourself, if you've forgotten it for any second, that you rejoice in being reconciled with God. You just remember, you just remind whoever asks you, when the accuser comes to you and questions you about your faith in Jesus and your hope to be a Christian, you say directly back, I am reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. I therefore have peace. When you state it, you rejoice in it, because you're saying, I've messed up, but God certainly has not. A gracious promise. And lastly, a privilege. Reading the history of the First World War, maybe some of you went to see the film the other week, in 1917. Quite a powerful film to watch, and realistic. And just the style it was filmed in, like a continual filming of the story, not departing to different scenes, and re-flashbacks and all sorts of things. It's just continual filming. And even in the detail of getting that sort of escape from the bombed city just as the sun was rising. And they filmed it with perfection, or to perfection. That's at a very superficial level. Apparently, lots of people, soldiers who survived the First World War on the front line, when they were told about peace, many of them couldn't celebrate. They just didn't have it in them to celebrate. And one commentator says, the past consumed their whole consciousness. The present did not exist, and the future was inconceivable. Such was their state of the environment, the ambience of war, violence, lack of peace. They couldn't celebrate. But we do have a privilege. We have the opportunity to celebrate. We do have a privilege of remembering that the present, the past sins are forgiven, the future sins are forgiven. Our future has a guarantee. We can conceive of it. We can say that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. We can say that we will not let our hearts be troubled because he has made peace with God for us. We can conceive of eternity. We can conceive of a world without viruses. We can conceive of a new creation of heaven and earth in the presence of God. And we can allow ourselves to celebrate in the meantime because that is what lies ahead. And so the disturbance of our superficial, circumstantial peace, it can be taken care of. But more so, the disturbance of our hearts that don't have peace with God as yet can be taken care of if you will come to put your faith in Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. What a privilege. I wonder if you can step into that rejoicing today. Brother and sister in the Lord, someone maybe has told you to remember the time that you came to faith in the first instance of it, and you remember that, and you remember the joy you once had. It can be rekindled. Rejoice in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you, but he gives you the hope and the promise, the privileges and the provision of being justified with him by faith in Jesus Christ. So, the message to Lima, don't let your hearts be troubled. The message to Peru, don't let your hearts be troubled. The message to the world, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for the peace, the shalom of God today. Let's pray. Lord God, we just ask you to bless us with these thoughts today in a world that is so full of turmoil and uncertainty and a lack of peace in the hearts of so many people. Oh Lord God, we've been reminded that circumstantial peace is one thing, but to have that shalom, that peace of God, peace with God, that comes only one way, and that comes through Jesus Christ. So today we declare firmly and confidently that the only answer is Jesus. And so we pray that you'll help us, each one, to be rejoicing in the reconciliation we have with you. Our sins are forgiven. Peace has been made. Shalom exists in the heart of all your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.